You're listening to the All About Symbian podcast. Today we'll be with Rafe Blandfort as he reports back from 3GSM in Barcelona 2007.
So I'm here with Johan Sandberg from UIQ Technology, and we'll start off by just saying it's been a very big show for UIQ, so perhaps you could summarise your the big announcements here from a UIQ Technology perspective.
Yeah. I think the start of the show was very good for us, because Motorola announced the Motorizer Z8, so their latest UIQ device, and that's certainly attracted some attention. So it's a new cool device with a new industrial design. And it has it's kind of a proof that UIQ can actually be used without a pen, which is something it's been able to do for a long time, but for not a very long time, but for quite a while at least. And it's just never been any phones proving it. But this is important to us. I think that's very important to us. Then we also publicly launched UIQ 3.1, which is the latest release of UIQ, which is the one, actually the release that the Motorizer Z8 is based on. And then finally today we had a press conference together with Sony Ericsson, where they stated their intentions around UIQ. And I think the most exciting one there is probably that they invited other handset manufacturers to join and join as shareholders of UIQ. So very clearly stating that UIQ is set up to be an independent company running business on its own, rather than being part of Sony Ericsson's organization in any way, and actually now also opening it up for more shareholders, which is very good, very exciting, very encouraging for us, and we're very happy to be part of that effort that Sony Ericsson is putting together right now.
So if we take each one of those in turn, the mm-hmm. three announcements,
yeah.
The Z8 is a very interesting one. Motorola has been a licensee of UIQ before,
yes.
So there's been something of a gap, and now it's come back with a very different type of device to which it's previously taken, and in many ways it's the first UIQ device that really targets the mid-tier segment of the market,
yes.
More so than some of the Sony Ericsson mm-hmm. devices. So you talked about it being a proof of concept of the UIQ, write once and run it on multiple platforms with different paradigms in terms of user interface.
Yes.
And
it becomes a proof point for us. If you look at, I mean, Sony Ericsson has done it to some extent when they, if you compare a P990 and a Walkman 950, I've got phones in all my pockets. It's actually very different devices, but they're all but identical software in here, the basic software. Now they've added stuff on top of it, but it's actually the same software base. Now, if you look at a Walkman 950, actually the touchscreen is almost redundant. So now there happens to be a touchscreen there because Sony Ericsson believes that that's a good interaction design for this kind of device, but it's virtually redundant. They could just as well have done it without a touchscreen. And if you look at how it's created, how it's done, there's actually soft keys here, which you happen to have to press the display to hit the soft key. But it could just as well have been a button below. Even though Sony Ericsson hasn't done a non-touch based device, it's still using the same capabilities, and if you look at the user interface, they're very different. And now with the Motorizer Z8, then it's kind of taking that a step further. And also in UIQ 3.1, we've added some functionalities which actually makes it a little bit more suited for a mid-tier device. Mid-range device. So,
but presumably that sort of mid-tier point is something that's very encouraging for you, because it's where the volume in the market is.
Yes.
And you must be very excited about having a device not only from a different manufacturer, but is very much a different segment to which UIQ has traditionally been in. Something like the Z8 seems to be a device that people who would buy just on the basis of the looks of the device alone, not necessarily because they're looking for a smartphone.
Yes. So rather than buying it because it's a smartphone, people will buy this because it's a cool phone that they like the design of. Now, still, we don't know where it's going to be priced, but it is a 3.5G, so it's a HSDPA device. So presumably, the price point will not be very low. I think you could safely assume that. But still, it's by design and by the target group they're going for is more in the mid-range than in the high business end of things.
Yeah. And with the Z8, they put a customized front end on the user interface, and they've used some of the tools to customize UIQ to their own look and feel.
Yes.
And that's another example of the way UIQ has got very strong customization features.
Yes, absolutely, indeed. And you can see that across all the devices now on UIQ 3 that they're actually customized very much on how they look and feel and how you're taken into the device in different ways. So the home screens look different, the menus act differently, and all of these things can be done still by not affecting the binary compatibility of applications, which is so key. I mean, it's the whole purpose of why you have a smartphone with an open OS is because you want that third-party availability of third-party applications is kind of the reason. So having binary compatibility between different families of phones and different segments of phones is a huge benefit for the handset manufacturer and for the operator, and ultimately for the consumer will be able to have a bigger choice of applications to run.
And you mentioned UIQ 3.1, which is the new version of the software platform. What changes have come in with UIQ 3.1? Do you feel there are ones that are particularly significant?
We've added more support for a pure soft key solution, so that when we create a new version of UIQ, what we do is we look at what devices do we know are going to be built on this, and we kind of optimize specific phone styles, we call them UI styles, you could say, for that kind of device. And with this release, we knew there were coming devices with no pen, so we've done some optimization around that. We have SVG in here as well, which actually enables better graphic appearance. It enables a better graphic appearance. There are things like task lists and so on. And also, it's based on the later releases, 9.2 of Symbian OS, which brings some benefits more for the handset manufacturer than anyone else, but also maybe for some of the developers. There's a new version of DRM in there as well, and there's some other stuff around Java, JSR's been updated and so on. So it's a raft of things that have been improved and added, but the big step that we did was from 2.1 to 3.0.
Absolutely.
That was a huge step, and this is more of a feature update. And that's what we'll see now moving forward. We will add support for more form factors. We will add features that come in. We will add, as standards evolve, we will add those into the... So, for instance, when there are new JSRs needed, we will add the JSRs. When there are new standards of DRM, we will add that, and so on and so on. And that way, the platform based on UIQ 3 will evolve rather than what we've done now. It's not evolution, it's revolution, what we've done between 2.1 and 3.0. Now it's evolution going forward. And that provides a more stable base, both for the handset manufacturer and for the developer.
And with 3.1, looking at something like the Z8, I noticed that the performance of the device was excellent, especially given that it's not yet finished development.
Yep.
Has there been a certain amount of performance tuning in 3.1? Has the 3 been able to mature a little in this next release so that it's a little faster? Is that something some of the earlier UIQ 3 devices, noticing the P990, did suffer from a little?
Yes, we've put lots of effort. No, yes, we did have some problems. Me and some areas did have some problems with some of the earlier releases, and there's been a lot of effort put into specifically stability and performance. Those are the two two things that we've had to really address strictly in UIQ, and all that's evident in 3.1. We've actually done that in maintenance releases of 3.0 as well, of course, but in 3.1 all of that comes along as well.
And you can integrate it into the 3.1 product. It's then available to all your licensees,
yes,
and ongoing future products.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I'd like to, for the third part, move on to the Sony Ericsson acquisition, which is perhaps the biggest news that's come out of UIQ technology since the 3.0 release.
Yes, sir. So, yeah.
And Sony Ericsson have taken a very interesting approach in that they're not seeking to own UIQ technology in the way that many of the other software platform vendors are owned by either a device manufacturer or owned by one specific entity. You're going to, at least the theory is that there'll be other shareholders coming in. Do you think it's likely that UIQ will be attractive enough to attract other shareholders, given that you've only got two licensees at the moment? That's going to be quite a big reach to start getting in more shareholders,
yeah,
because at first at least Sony Ericsson is going to remain the major shareholder and newcomers may be concerned about their level of control.
I don't know to what extent the shareholding is going to be divided as new shareholders come on board. I think that's a Sony Ericsson question, but I understand from the ongoing discussions right now that there's quite some interest from the industry in this, and seeing it a bit as the, and kind of creating a platform where you can share some of the common burden, because many of the requirements, if you look at what a phone developer needs to do now, phone vendor needs to do in the software space, you get requirements from the operators. Many of them are generic requirements that everyone has more or less the same requirement, and some of them are specific for certain big operators, and every single phone manufacturer needs to do exactly the same thing in exactly the same way to fulfill those requirements. And of course, if you can find a way where they won't have to do that, that they can focus on differentiating and have a common base where this non-differentiating thing, these things are covered in that common base, then obviously that's a huge benefit for the handset manufacturer. And I would say the more, the happier they will be. Although we have an inherent problem here. We're 200 people, and we are pretty busy actually taking care of our two major licensees that are active and we're working with right now. But so bringing on more licensees will have to happen more gradually as we move along, because they do require quite bits of support, actually. It's not self-evident. You can't just send a CD to them. But we see a lot of interest around the concept of having a hub of sharing the non-differentiating efforts. And it's something I think we can pretty much safely assume that interest will be there now. Then that doesn't say automatically that there will be people interested in buying shares of UIQ. That's something that Sony Ericsson will have to kind of drive, totally, yeah, as being the owner. We're the merchandise in that case, so we don't have any say.
So your job is to look as attractive as possible to those outside shareholders.
Yes, of course. And if we do a good job, then we will be attractive.
And presumably, with having, just as with having multiple licensees, having multiple shareholders will be desirable for you, because it will create, aside from being able to sell more licenses, it'll also give you input from a wider range of sources. And UIQ is already designed to run on a very wide variety of platforms and should enable you to actually fulfil that potential a little more, because each manufacturer will bring their own perspective and their own, perhaps, paradigm to the sort of,
absolutely,
form factor or input.
Yes, and in addition to that, if you look at the developer community, each manufacturer that we kind of tie into the family, either as a licensee or as a shareholder, will also open up a new segment of the ecosystem, of the wider mobility ecosystem for us. So looking at us now, we have the UIQ ecosystem, we have the Symbian ecosystem, we have the Sony Ericsson ecosystem, we have part of the Motorola ecosystem. Just by them being licensees and actually promoting development on UIQ in their ecosystem, that means that we're actually leveraging our position of having several licensees. And of course, you would presume that a shareholder and licensee would be more active in that rather than being just a licensee. So we think that's a very positive drive. And of course, from a perspective of running the company, having more committed customers is important. And what customer can be more committed than one that actually is part of owned part of you as well? I think that's key.
And Sony Ericsson very specifically stated in the press conference that they weren't necessarily looking to run UIQ technology as a profit and loss business. They wanted to be creating a standard UI that several people could contribute. Presumably that's something that ties in very much with your aims, because you're looking to create a software platform that can be used by many people. And having that kind of backing from Sony Ericsson must be a very positive feeling, having in recent years at least being part of Symbian, which was, although Symbian obviously cared for UIQ technology, they also had their core business was the sort of the kernel and the sort of middleware stuff, whereas UIQ was a leftover from an earlier days of Symbian strategy.
We were the odd bird in the Symbian group, and also because when Symbian, so potentially if Symbian had a bunch of money and had to decide where to put it, they would put it on their core development rather than on something on the side, which were us. And also that was pretty much the steer from the owners of Symbian to keep us on a more or less flat level, which means that doing the things and taking the steps you have to do to become the leading platform, which is our aim. I mean, we want to be the winners in this. We're not going to be number two or number three or anything. We're going to win. So, and to be able to do that, then there are steps we have to take, which actually require quite significant investments. Now we have backing to do that, and that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And Sony Ericsson have said that they're going to invest heavily into UIQ technology. Mm. How soon do you think those effects will be felt? Because in this industry, last week.
Since Sony Ericsson started the acquisition of the it was announced in
November
sometime. Of course, we've been working on business plans and so on for this to happen. It's trying to set as much preparation as we could do without being unfair to our previous owners. So we have now been able to put some things in motion, which have been almost planned and ready to just set going. And of course, the first thing about that is to be able to start building the organization to be able to take these further steps that we need to do, and that's already taking place. So we have started. We're strengthening the management team with some key people. We are strengthening key areas of our organization. So on the developer support side, we're strengthening that very significantly. We're strengthening parts of the development organization to be able to do some more components that we need to bring in. And we're also strengthening up some partnerships with various partners that we need to work closer with to be able to take on this wider role that Sony Ericsson now wants us to have.
Yeah, and so the key investment initially is staffing, but that will then lead to any number of new projects and new areas for UIQ technology to work in. And while they may take a little longer, the effects in terms of support for developers will be felt fairly quickly.
Yes, exactly. So that's because supporting the developers, I think, is mainly a headcount issue. It's mainly a resource issue, a bandwidth issue, and being able to rather quickly start approaching that. We can do more developer events, and we can actually have more support. We can produce more documentation, white papers, and so on. And that's going to, I think, be felt fairly quickly in the industry.
And outside of the sort of developer area, do you think there are any key strategic areas where you'll be sort of putting in investment for the longer term? We've seen some of the other platforms have started looking at how they can, for example, expand the runtimes on the platforms, but also bring in sort of creating devices as part of a more integrated digital home, which is something that we haven't seen quite so much on from at least UIQ technology. Sony Ericsson have done it with some of their remote play things. Is that the sort of areas that you're going to look at?
It's certainly interesting, specifically the connected home and the kind of prolongation of these devices into other environments, if it's the home or if it's the car or if it's in the office even. Those are really interesting areas that we kind of start to borderline against right now, and we are driving a couple of projects, kind of long-term projects we call them, in looking at what we can do there. Some things that are really important for us is, of course, to drive the cost, the bill of material cost down. So we're looking very, very focused efforts right now on the semiconductor side, trying to see if we can move down the chain in cost for the handset manufacturer. Modularizing, making it easier to actually UIQ for some types of devices. UIQ contains too much. You want to rip stuff out of there, and making that easier and more flexible is things that we're going down as well. And then we have some gaps in the platform that we need to add. Some just purely add some components in there as well.
So it's things like modularization of the platform, bringing in more reference platforms and that sort of thing.
Those are really important steps for us.
And also you talked a little bit about outside partners. We're seeing now increasingly with some of your competitors partnerships with operators to reduce the time to market and to reduce development costs. Is that something you think UIQ technology should be exploring?
We are today working pretty closely with some operators, quite a few actually, and we need to explore that further on. But I think the key thing here is we need to actually use the wider ecosystem to work for us. We are very good at creating a UI framework and some core technologies around that that enables people to do great phones. But we're not very good at building browsers or other things. I mean, push email systems and stuff like that. We need to make people work for us in a better way. And also, if you look at doing specific, let's say, creating a reference design, we don't have the people that's needed to create a reference design. We don't have those skills. So we need to work with partners to do that. Maybe it's a semiconductor partner, maybe it's someone else. But we need to work with people that can actually add value to the greater community in a better way, rather than try to just do everything ourselves. We don't want to become another Microsoft, trying to go, or another IBM. If you're old enough like me, that's what IBM did 20 years ago. Really everything, but that didn't work. They had to retract from that. So we don't want to go into that kind of trap. You should stay the best at what we're good at, what we're the best at today, and then make sure that we leverage the fact that other people are the best at other things.
You're still part of the wider Symbian family, but you're now a little more divorced from Symbian, but a lot of the things that are used within the UIQ technology platform, Symbian still has a key stakeholder, and for example the tool chain, that's something that S60 or Nokia have a lot of control over. Is something that you'll seek to continue to be part of the wider Symbian family and use that as one of the key advantages you're on a common platform?
So the working closely together and aligning to Symbian and also to Series 60, how strange it may sound, specifically around the tools for developers, is really key for us, making sure that we don't diverge in APIs too much and so on, because it's such a strength for Symbian as a whole to have that kind of alignment towards, well, the Microsofts and whatever of the world. So we don't want to break that kind of relationship that we have, and that relationship is going well now, right now. I don't think we're actually losing anything from not being part of the Symbian family. I think it actually even gets easier for people to work with us. They're not confusing the owner issue anymore. But the intention is very much to keep working with Symbian and actually keep working with Series 60 specifically on the tool side to make sure that we have a joint offering that's attractive for the developers,
for the industry.
So thank you very much. UIQ technology will be someone to watch over the 12 months. It will be interesting to see how it develops, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast. www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2006.